Let me just have a word of prayer and just ask God's blessing on the rest of this service. God, thank you. Thank you for the worship, music, and the opportunity, the freedom we have to come here in a school, in a visible building, a visible gathering of people. Lord, you know who is part of your invisible church this morning, those who truly call you Lord. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, because only you can change people through this message, through your word. God, I'm praying that through the study and through the meditations of my heart, that, Lord, this would be pleasing to you. That, God, your word is what changes people's lives and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, to those that don't know you, may these words be the very words that would gather them towards a saving knowledge of you. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the words of Christ. So, Lord, I pray that the gospel would be proclaimed in their hearts today. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. We are concluding this morning a sermon series that we've been going through for the last 7 weeks on the title of the message calling Go, Make Disciples. And the purpose of this message was, you know, we've been going at this church plant for 2 years, and the question that we as an elder team and deacons and just leadership in general, whether it's small group leaders, is, and me personally have been convicted by, is what kind of disciples are we making? Because as a professing believer in Christ, as someone who has proclaimed Christ as my Lord, I am making disciples. And you are making disciples. And the question remains, what kind of disciples are you making? You know, the job of a pastor, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that the role of a pastor is to equip the saints for ministry. And so part of this sermon series is to truly give you a tool. On our website, Go, Therefore, and Make Disciples is a link to our philosophy of ministry, literally just a tool. 6 points that I've been going through for the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, that can help you in the discipleship of someone that you are working with. Now, I'm not saying this is the only tool, but what I'm saying is this is a tool. And we've gone through this the last few weeks. I just want a quick summary. Just if you've not been here, I'm just going to walk through these just real quick because we are at the final one. So the first thing was, in regards to discipleship, is this. It is God working through you, not your human activity, is what our ministry is all about. It is not about you, follower of Christ, doing a bunch of things. It is God doing the work through you and giving Him glory for everything. Number two was the process or the guide of our ministry is the Bible, not human wisdom. When we disciple someone, not only do we ask them, what is God teaching you? But we bring God's Word in as the tool by which, or God's Word, to guide them. It's not our human wisdom. It's not Oprah. It's not Dr. Phil. It's not even your human wisdom. It is God's Word that brings about change in people's lives. So we ask them, when we disciple them, what are they reading in God's Word? The third is, those first two are really a vertical relationship. What is God teaching you, and how is God teaching you through His Word? And then thirdly, the process of our ministry is people, not programs. The focus of our ministry, like Jesus, is about people. And so, who are you discipling? Organically, as you meet people in your workplace, or maybe your own family, your kids, your husband, your wife, your coworkers, whoever God has in your place, your ministry is about them, not what you do. And the fourth thing is, in the goal of discipleship, is that people would mature. We're not simply just here to see people get saved and then let them go. And though that is a great joy to see people come to a saving knowledge of Christ, Jesus calls us to disciple people. And in Colossians chapter 1, we learn that Him we proclaim as Brandon said. Him we proclaim, admonishing and teaching so that we might present people mature in Christ. The goal of your discipleship is to see people grow, and in turn, you grow. And last week we talked about the mission, or the environment of our ministry is the corporate body, not individuals. This is not cowboy church. This is not, I can do it on my own. I don't need the body of Christ. The goal of our ministry is to cause people to want to gather together with other believers in Christ. We do that through small groups. We do that through a Sunday gathering. We do that anytime we gather together. God has called disciples of Jesus to gather with one another. For what purpose? Well, because fellowship is a beautiful thing. Because obedience is modeled. Because your spiritual gifts are on display. And the gospel will be preached. That's why we gather. And when we disciple someone, we encourage them to gather with one another. You can't do this alone. And those of you who think you can, may God have mercy on you. And that brings us to our final. The final point, a final part of this discipleship is this. Our ministry is about spiritual reproduction, not just spiritual addition. It kind of goes in reflection to that. We're wanting to make mature Christians, but it's a little bit different. Let me explain. If our goals as a church at High Point is simply to see someone have a saving knowledge of Christ, and that alone, we are not doing what God has called us to do as followers of Christ. God has called you to reproduce in the lives of others. So what is God asking you to do? Quite simply, you ready? God is asking you to pour your life into somebody. Now, when I say that, can I just get personal with you? When you pour yourself into somebody, there's a great potential you might get burned. Maybe based on your own mistakes. Maybe based on a sin that you've committed. But maybe just because they walk away from the Lord. When Jesus asks you, as a disciple of Christ, as a learner of Jesus, to pour yourself into somebody, there is a great potential you're going to get burned. And the likelihood is that will cause you to never want to disciple someone again. As a pastor and someone who's been a follower of Christ for 13 years, I could give you lists of names of people that just come into my head every morning. Some who have been in this church that they've walked away. And my heart just aches. I wonder, what did I do wrong? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? You pour into them, and maybe you did do something wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. When you pour yourself into someone, like God is asking you to do, there is a potential that you're going to get hurt. In the scripture this morning, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see Paul addressing his mentee, Timothy. Somebody he has poured his life into. We see that Paul reminds Timothy, and the passage that I'm going to read this morning is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But I'm going to bring in some other context. Because I think that Paul's trying to tell us is, listen, Timothy, pour yourself into people. And you might get burned, Timothy. Follow along with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in a civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. And think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything. Listen, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also might obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is telling Timothy, encouraging Timothy to suffer alongside him. Had Paul poured into people? The answer is yes. Has Paul been discipling people? The answer is yes. Has Paul been burned? Look at verse 15 with me of chapter 1 if you have your Bibles. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom specifically are Phygeus and Hermogenes. And then at the end in chapter 4, he says it again. But the Lord soon, verse 16, at my defense, in chapter 4, verse 16, at my defense, and this is where Paul is standing before the Romans as he had been arrested in Troas. This is his final arrest. It's no more house arrest. It's no coming and going. Paul is going to die. And at his first defense, no one came to stand up for him. All deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Listen, this last point of discipleship, I get it. What I've done for the last 6-7 weeks is this. I am asking you to go make disciples. No, wait, let me clarify that. Jesus is asking you to make disciples. Let me clarify again. He is commanding you to make disciples. He knows it's going to be painful. He knows people will walk away. He knows he's calling you to do something really hard. I think about some of you parents who have kids that have walked away from the Lord. You've poured your life into them. You've shared the gospel with them. You brought them to church. You brought them to youth group. And they're no longer walking with the Lord. And you cry out to the Lord. Was it worth it? Jesus says it was worth it. Because not only is He using your discipleship, but He is discipling you. Yeah, Jesus is calling us to reproduce. Reproduce in the lives of other people, and that will be tough. All indications are, as we look at scriptures, that it is a tough ministry, the area of discipleship, and that's why few do it. So we look at this scripture, we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we see Paul encouraging Timothy with three specific illustrations to encourage him in his discipleship as he suffers through, as he heads back, or currently is in Ephesus. And he comes to three. Three areas that he wants to remind him to reproduce in others. Not just add converts, not just spiritually add in the church in Ephesus, but literally pour into people, Timothy. And teach others to pour into people. That word entrust there. It literally means to commit in a very close way. Literally side by side. And so when Paul admonishes him, he says, would you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. What he's saying is, walk side by side. Close fellowship. Stand right next to them and encourage them to pour into other people. That's what God's Word is telling us to do through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy. So I want to take a look at three things. Three things in which Paul encourages and admonishes Timothy. The first thing is this. Three examples of how the gospel of Christ will guide you in your discipleship. Number one. The first thing is, this is a soldier. Look at verse 3 and 4 with me. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civil pursuit or civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. The first thing that I see in this passage to encourage you, disciple of Christ, to encourage you to reproduce in others when it gets hard is like a soldier, be focused. Be focused in the reason why you are pouring into people, and that is for the gospel's sake. Listen, what do we know about soldiers? Let me ask you, does it matter what president it is for a soldier? Does it matter what political affiliation a soldier is while he's in Afghanistan or Iraq? Or wherever a commander-in-chief might call them to do. No, a soldier is focused on what's most important. What Paul is encouraging Timothy in his discipleship of others is, listen, Timothy, like a soldier, be focused. It's not about you, Timothy. It's not about what you want, Timothy. It's not about the pat on the back, Timothy. Be focused. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel going forth in the lives of followers of Christ, and it's about for bringing the gospel to those who don't know Christ. That's why he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he says, do the work of an evangelist. It's not about you. See, we often lose our focus. I lose my focus. And when discipleship gets really hard is when I'm pouring into somebody. And you know what I'm talking about. You pour into them and all of a sudden, they go and talk to somebody else. And when they're talking to somebody else, they tell you how great they are. And you're sitting there thinking, well, what about me? I'm pretty great, ain't I? I hope you're laughing here. Listen, that's when I've lost my focus. Jesus has called me to disciple people, period. Jesus has called us, followers of Christ, to pour into the lives of people for the gospel's sake. Like a good soldier, be focused. Paul says the same thing in 2 Corinthians. Well, I want to give you an illustration. You would think there would be a guy in Paul who would have lost focus because of all the things that he went through. Let's just take a look at some of the things. We think we got it bad in our discipleship, right? You know, you pour into somebody. Let's look at Paul just for a second. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger, rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from all these things, there is the daily pressure of me and my anxiety for all the churches. Listen, do you think there would be someone who could lose focus? Listen, I understand what it means to lose focus. I lose focus all the time in discipleship. When you pour into someone, you better go into that discipleship focused on the gospel changing them and you. And only then will there be true success in discipleship. The second thing I see, as Paul uses the illustration in verse 5, follow along with me. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So what do we know about athletes? Now, to all you St. Louis Cardinals fans, they used to have a baseball player named Mark McGwire. Now, I'm a huge Cardinals fan. When Mark McGwire was hitting home runs, it was like I was hitting home runs. All 60-plus of them. When I found out he was cheating, that was terrible. That was the worst. When Paul says here, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules, the next thing that I see is this. In the area of discipleship, not only does Christ want you to be focused, but like an athlete, Christ wants you to be disciplined. You must be disciplined while you're discipling others because they're watching you. You know, I know you want to do your walk by yourself. Yeah, I know that you want to do what you want to do behind closed doors. I get it. But listen, Jesus is asking you to pour into the lives of others. It's not about you. You must be disciplined. When you're caught cheating, when you're caught doing things that you're not preaching, you will be humbled. I have been humbled a few times. A few meaning lots. You go right to the cross. You disciple them as one who is a repentant follower of Christ. You show them as you walk in discipline that part of that discipline is to be on your knees in repentance for your sin. Listen, it's not about being perfect. Hear me correctly. Our Savior is the one who is perfect. But Christ is calling you to be disciplined. There's no cheating. When you make a mistake, admit it. That's part of discipleship. When the church looks like a place where it's like a country club, where everyone's got it together, that's not a very attractive place to be at. But when the church is like a hospital, which it's intended to be, which is a place for sick people, going to the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, well, that's something very attractive because this world is sick. And we need a Savior who can heal us. When you disciple someone, you are focused on the gospel and what that brings to your life and to others, and you are disciplined in the area of repentance on a daily basis. I hated it that Mark McGwire couldn't stand up there and admit he was on drugs. He had to tell that he took the plead the fifth. I was so disappointed. Just admit it. You'd be a better man for it. And I wonder, as we disciple people, if we're too weak to admit our own mistakes. And in turn, not truly pouring our lives into others. Look at Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Listen, when you are disciplined, you're not doing it because of what people are going to say about you. You are disciplined because God tells you to be disciplined. You do it behind the scenes. You live a life as if God is watching you, not your neighbors. Your life will change when you know that God is watching you. And in turn, you are truly discipling someone the way Christ has intended you to. The third thing that I see from the illustration that Paul uses in verse 6. Not only be focused, but be disciplined. And then in verse 6, he says this: it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Well, what do we know about farmers? Well, let me ask you something. When it doesn't rain, when the hail comes, does a farmer just give up? Does he just sit there and say, I'm never going to plant corn again? The darn hail, that stupid tornado, that's it. I'm not doing this next year. Those weeds, they just keep coming back. They just coming back. I'm done. No, what I know about a farmer is that they're hardworking. What Christ is asking you to do is be hardworking. What does that mean? Well, part of that hardworking is I see patience. Like a farmer. Are farmers not patient? Talk to a farmer for a while. They'll talk about anything. When disaster hits, when someone you're discipling walks away, mom and dad, when your kids walk away from the Lord, husbands, when your wives walk away, wives, when your husbands walk away, listen, you continue on. You continue on. You keep pouring your life into others. You keep going. You keep going. Listen, I know discipleship is hard. It takes everything that you've got. But I'm going to give you some hope. You ready? It's found in verse 1 and 8. Follow along with me. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then scroll all the way down to verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Listen. Where are you going to find your strength in discipleship? Is Paul really saying in these verses, listen, on your own, be focused, be disciplined, be hardworking? Is that what Paul's really saying? Because if you walk out of here and say, okay, I got a 3-step program, and all I'm going to do when I get out of here is I'm going to be focused, disciplined, and hardworking, and let's go. Listen, Paul understood that you find your strength in discipleship in Jesus Christ. You find your strength in discipleship in Jesus Christ alone. That word there, be strengthened, it's in the passive tense. It literally means not pick up your bootstraps and let's go. It's rely on Jesus Christ for strength. Isn't that great? Listen, we should all be jumping up for joy right now. God is not asking us to do this by ourselves. Praise the Lord. Jesus says, you rely on my strength to disciple someone. Well, how do I know that that's true? How do I know that Jesus is my example? You ready? As a soldier, be focused. Listen, Jesus was focused. He said this, not my will be done, but yours. You want an example of focus? Look at Jesus. In discipleship, you want focus? Rely on the one who is focused. Be disciplined. You want to know who's disciplined? Jesus was disciplined. In all points, he was tempted, but did not sin. You want to have victory in your life? You go to Jesus. He is disciplined. You want to talk about patience? You want to talk about patience? You go to the one who is patient with you. You want to talk about long-suffering? You go to the one who is long-suffering. I look at my own life, November 2nd, 2001, this 26-year-old punk. God was patient with this punk for 26 years till he opened my eyes. Till he opened my eyes. And I professed him as my Lord and Savior. And for the forgiveness of my sins, Jesus is focused. Jesus is disciplined. Jesus is patient. He will give you the strength to disciple. Jesus is your example. You know, it's funny, as Timothy, or Paul writes in Timothy, he says, I do these for the sake of the elect. That's an interesting point, because an elect person is someone that God has already called out. So what Paul is saying by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is pour into people that God is working in. Pour into people that God is already going to save. Pour into people and I will do the work. Wow, that makes this discipleship a heck of a lot easier, doesn't it? Oh, I wish that was the case. Listen, the reason Paul was admonishing Timothy was this reason. Because we do discipleship without Christ and we get discouraged. And so I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you. As we go off and we follow this discipleship program, this discipleship model, whatever, this tool for discipleship, I'm telling you, if you don't do it in Christ's strength, you will be severely disappointed. And so as we as a church are discipling people, we are discipling people by the strength that is found in Christ Jesus. And then and only then are we truly discipling people. As we go to communion now, we do things a little bit differently here. If you're a visitor here today, what we do is, the communion table is right behind you. And what I'm going to do is when I pray, I'm going to talk a little bit more, but when I pray, and those of you who are followers of Christ, those of you who have professed Christ as Lord, this is your opportunity to remember what Jesus has done for you. His body, his perfect, sinless body. That is your opportunity to look at his body and see that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. That he died for your sins. So it's your opportunity as you hold that bread to confess your sin, follower of Christ. You should be remembering what Jesus did on the cross. When you hold that juice, represents the blood of Christ. See, Jesus' sinless, perfect body cannot save you from your sins. Jesus had to die. As Hebrews 9:22 says, Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When you hold that cup, you rejoice in the blood and the sacrificial atonement for your sin. You rejoice, follower of Christ. Every time we do communion, you're remembering all over again the day you accepted Him as Savior. Praise Jesus that we get this opportunity. And those of you who do not know Christ, this table is not for you, because you are remembering what Christ has done for you. So I'm asking you, why have you not yet received what Christ has done for you? You go back to that table not knowing Christ is Lord, you make a mockery of that table. I'm just asking you to humble yourself. If the Spirit is leading, that is. If the Holy Spirit is leading in you, I'm asking you to humble yourself. I'm pleading with you. I'm persuading you, as Paul says, to receive Christ for salvation and take communion freely. Welcome to the family. To those who receive Him, they are given the right to become children of God. Receive Him today as your Lord and Savior and take communion freely. Listen, as we end this message, we look to Christ. He is our strength. We look to Him as we work in others. When I pray, Jake's going to play some songs. And when you're ready, you go back and you grab those elements and you come back to your seats and you do business with God. Or should I say, let God do business with you. And then I'll come up and we'll commune together. But take this as an opportunity to ask God about your disciple making. What kind of disciples are you making? Is God going first? And my prayer is that He is. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You. For it is by Your grace that we're even here today. Lord, we come worshiping You because You are worthy of praise. And Lord, we're asking that in this gathering that You would make us more like You. That You would enable us to disciple ones with the eyes of Christ, focused, disciplined, and patient. So that, Lord, You get all the glory. Lord, use this time for Your glory. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Take a look at this verse with me. I'm glad you left that up, Brent. Listen, I don't know about you, but this is so hard for me to really grip when it comes to discipling. It becomes so much part of what I get out of it that leads to the frustration in discipleship. Listen, I see in Paul that he was being led by the Holy Spirit. And that he could say something like this. I don't doubt that Paul struggled. But listen how he, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon you. When you truly understand that verse, you understand the power of discipleship. Because it's not about you. It's what God is working through you and teaching you. That's discipleship. And so when he says, go and make disciples, he's going before you. And he's the person you rely on. And all the more, he gets all the glory. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup. After supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Please stand. As Matt closes in song, I'm so grateful that I get to be a part of a church whose goal and mission is to make disciples. I pray I can be an encouragement to you. Because you're an encouragement to me. And so for God's glory, let's pour our lives into people. For His name's sake.